So, hallihallo, liebe Leute, herzlichst willkommen zur Tischlein Deck dich Ausgabe Nummer 163. Wir müssen ein bisschen Strecke machen, weil ich dachte mir letztens so 100, 160, das hört sich nicht nach so viel an. Ich will in größere Dimensionen vorstoßen, jetzt über die 200 eigentlich. Aber ja, ein Schritt nach dem anderen, nicht wahr? Und damit können wir dann gleich, denke ich, auf Englisch wechseln. So, mein liebes Dear Winter, mein liebes Wintersturm. I feel now. Yeah, a little bad, of course, because it's Friday, and yesterday we sat there in the office silently, and I wrote the poem about this. Like, this is on one hand so good, sitting silently with you is like, feels also like having sex, but on the other hand, it's not that good. Like, in autumn when we were talking, this I felt was better. And I feel, how can we get back there? Maybe you feel just the same and just as desperate as me and wanted to make an effort to come to me, and I didn't even dare to think of it because it's always like, yeah, love has to be this romantic. So the more we drag on this phase of not talking, the more romantic it gets, and we don't wanna commit any mistake and make a blunder, go into the wrong direction. So therefore, it seems like, yeah, it has to stay this way because each word that I could utter or you, this would then break up the silence and throw us into this new experience where we don't know what could happen. And this is a little paradoxical then, because I feel if it were only about friendship, we would be already behind all this. And the only reason it gets so complicated is because it has to do with love. But why is shouldn't love be something nice? And yeah, when you're so, I mean, it's so clear to me that I want to be your friend. I mean, maybe not your boyfriend, but we can see about that. I don't know how to move in this love area, what to do there. But I mean, just to be talking and be friends, I mean, this, yeah. And here I took a note earlier, because today, a Friday, I went to the office, but you weren't there. Then working at home. And here I wrote, yeah, I simply want to be friends with you, because everyone else I know is a boring idiot. As Slavoj Žižek puts it adequately, describing the nature of the plebeian masses. But you are different. Everyone else, except my ex-girlfriend, is of this plebeian nature. And yeah, this, I mean, I'm sorry for all my friends to tell them this, but in a way I feel this exactly. It's just you are this interesting person. And maybe my ex-girlfriend also, yeah, surely. But all my friends, I feel, my God, I don't even want to meet them. And I think it's normal in a phase where you feel entrapped in love. Fell in love, that don't want to see friends, don't want to be confronted again. Their looks and the social gifts and values, exchange values are transferred from one pair of eyes to another, and we see in those other eyes what's normal. And but reading on here, I want to know you But not to be lovers, 'cause love is too fragile, too special. With you, I feel common, feel like I'm a normal person who is granted that unique pleasure of talking to you, looking at you. And that's enough. If you want more, well, show me your feminine hunger. Give me the sign, and maybe I give in. But this part is not my favorite. You are my favorite. Spending time with you, familiarizing with your habits, thoughts, and movements. Just want to perceive you closely while you draw or watch your favorite series. Please don't be afraid. Exactly. This is the favorite. You're my favorite, and I mean, not even in a sexual way. Of course, it could be in this way also. And yeah, it depends on everything what you want or think, what we can figure out. But I think this is the problem exactly this sexual desire and this questions, what is the right thing to do and how to love. This is then inhibiting and paralyzing us, and could be such a nice thing to even be friends and have that friendly exchange, like with you. Of course, it's always that friendly because of your courteousness, your hilarity, your bursting youthfulness. As I wrote in a poem I composed yesterday, and there I talked about this, having sex silently, just ignoring each other, but it feels also like an intimate action. And in this poem I talked about that I desired your body shapes, and I think this is good because it's paradoxical. Now reading about just want to be friends, and then on the other hand, on the other side, there comes again this erotic desire. And I think this is the point about love. It's paradoxical. I don't want it to be so romantic. And somehow I read this in this theoretician Luhmann, that in medieval age there was a more paradox code of love. And this makes a lot of sense to me. So we can replace maybe this romanticism with paradox. Paradox. So, and yeah, winter. Delia, it's a difficult phase of your life now for you, and I don't want to put you under so much pressure, but maybe you like it too. I mean, in love, yeah, it's double knife. I don't know what you want, just the next week, hopefully I can have the guts to approach you and tell you anything, ask you how you're doing. This would be a great act. And you would maybe look at me with your wildcat eyes, and yeah, we'll see about this. Just gonna say this to you. To you, the two of you Ukrainian girls, well, Zoryana, that I need to tell you that I'm absolutely talking seriously, and I hope this all doesn't maybe, well, I don't know if you're really interested in listening so much, but just that this doesn't annoy you or auf den Schlips treten, is a nice expression in German. Auf den Schlips getreten? Well, that you feel somehow bothered by my erotic allusions, but I said this very clearly, that I don't have any intention, and just like that you're there. And yeah, this erotic feeling and sizzling is impossible to ignore, especially in a person that's so young and radiating lots of energy and femininity like you. But then, I mean, yeah, hope you can understand this, that I also want to educate you. I mean, you're young, and I just want to talk about love here theoretically and say, yeah, because it felt like a huge burden to me. Not only love, but the whole life, in the whole bourgeois life. Well, in a way, we all have to be citizens of this bourgeois state, be bourgeois in this way, bürgerlich. That so if we so this all felt like a huge depressing entity, this life, I mean, as a citizen in these European states. Of course, our homelands are different, but I mean, not that different. Also, Ukraine is not that far away. And yeah, just culturally, also not that diverging, different from Germany. Just economically, of course, there's lots of differences. And yeah, but this is so depressing. I mean, and I want to show you or give you something or just educate the young generations of all over the world, well, also the South Americans, but especially you, because somehow, yeah, you're there now. And yeah, talking about love, about exactly, about how these gender inequalities, well, yes, they exist, but maybe it's not even that good talking about it all the time, because the real problem is in love is how to find together. I mean, it seems so natural to clutch together if you have this feeling for someone, but how to find this way to really get there and what to do. I mean, it's impossible, and if you get there, well, how to assure this relationship is going to work, how to solve the everyday problems. I mean, this is the real problem in love, and it doesn't have to do anything with boys and girls in general. The real problem is the same in homosexual or heterosexual, every kind of relationship, that it's difficult to open yourself up to another person and to be that naked in a way and be like this. This other person could perceive you in your everyday habits. And if you feel like me, your habits are not that healthy and good and make you feel ashamed. I mean, even now, make me feel ashamed of myself where I'm alone. But how much worse has this to be than if this other person that is so big, such a huge entity for me, then would see all this in me. And exactly. So this, I was directing myself now to you, Zoriana, because I still have this text where I talk about you two girls in the office. And this text I particularly liked. I wrote it up last week. Today's Friday, the last day of June, the 30th. And I feel like, yeah, in a way, before number six, also with a lot of pressure, but not that much today, just that it's the end of the week and I'm depressed of not seeing you, Lilia, Winter, that you. I mean, if I'm in the office, I know that I'm not going to talk to you, or for some reason the last month it's felt this way, that I wanted to let this go very slowly, drag on. But at least I can tell myself and think it could happen. I mean, it could happen any moment that Lilia comes to me, or that she even looks at me, or that I, for some reason, feel the urge to talk to her. Like, of course, sometimes I did and thought, man, this would be so natural now. And yeah, therefore, it feels better. It feels like, yeah, it could happen. And if not, I mean, in a way, I already feel your physical force field, your magnetic field. It's good to have you there, that I, yeah, know so close to you. And with this, I think I can move on a little. And yeah, Lilia, yeah, Let me, exactly, because I want to educate you, especially girls of you, but telling you girls that in a way you also have to be masculine, or it's nothing bad to just say, I don't want to be a woman. The same way, of course, I also like to say, I don't want to be a man. I don't want to be deformed by those stereotypes, but someday maybe you feel like, yeah, I want to be manly. And in general, masculinity is easier than femininity, or yeah, at least we have to encourage you that you can also take some ingredients from the masculine part. And I just want to read something, go on a little in this book by Eva Illus, Why Love Hurts. Yeah, and yeah, educate you. And I think after that, maybe I don't want to read this erotic text. That was is for some other day, because today I feel a little depressed. Feel like this. Maybe yeah, I can read some other poem. I wrote many texts now, but this is not the real work, Lydia. I just want to talk to you, and this would be the nicest work and most beautiful words I would find then only. So let's keep on reading here, page 124. Als diejenigen, die eine Heirat initiierten, waren Männer bei diesem Vorgang die Verletzlicheren. Sie mussten ihre Inbrunst und die Stärke ihres Gefühls unter Beweis stellen, zugleich aber eine gewisse Selbstkontrolle walten lassen, um im Falle einer Zurückweisung nicht zu ungeschützt zu sein. Yeah, I talked about this yesterday, that men, no, not yesterday, but in this last episode, where I read this book a couple episodes ago, that men were more eager to get married and women were more, well, zögernd. They're not taking a decision so fast because they didn't have so much to gain in marriage than men. And today maybe it seems like it's the other way around. Women want to have a close bond and men maybe, yeah, say we can. There's always this talk about Bindungsangst, fear to be bound. That males have this fear. It's always present as a theme in the vulgar discourse. Also, the discourse in society about love affairs and love relationships. That yeah, somehow men are less committed or something like this, less romantic. And yeah, back then it was the other way around. And just what I what got to my mind now, not coming up with the words today so easily. You two girls especially, I want to educate you because I care about you, because I also want to demonstrate, not demonstrate, but also want this is the truth about my podcast, that I want to get away from Germany, at least ideologically, distancing myself from my German listeners and from the German language also, as I said once in Spanish, that it's a shitty language. Lengua de mierda. Estoy harto del alemán. In 158, the last one I published this week, and of course therefore this week was so shook me, and I was shaken because of publishing this in Spanish and this love thing. Yeah, I talked about it last time already, but now it's really published, and I just hope, I don't know what I hope, just nothing happens. And yeah, in a way, this was also due to, why did I record this for my Argentinian classmate, although I feel this is not such a great idea if I'm now just thinking of you, Winter. And I mean, okay, polyamory is okay, but still, it shouldn't complicate your life at a certain over and over. And but the reason is simply I feel it has to do with my family also, and this anxiety, this aggressivity, aggressiveness. I was talking already in a TSY episode number 9 or something. Yeah, I think 8 or 9. Why? Well, because, you know, because I am so shy and sometimes feel like it's too much social interactions. And then I'm with my family, there was I'm with my grandfather, and felt like I'm now so alienated being here in this foreign house. And yeah, for some reason it has to do something with this, that I want to distance myself also from Germany and from my family and everyone I know, my friends. And just, yeah, with this I think it had to do. But it doesn't matter even, I mean, I did it. And it's also good to get it out there, because love, you feel, isn't never a lie. And yeah, and so I tell you girls, or all, everyone who likes to listen here in English, also other foreigners, but yeah, that you're very dear to me and dearer than my German listeners. I mean, of course you Germans can also listen in English, but I mean, this talk in English is a clear sign that I really want to be distanced. I don't want to be associated with this country. And yeah, just to show you this, that the bourgeois life today is so such a struggle, or feels psychologically really hard. But I'm so grateful that you two girls came there, and that I just can see you around every day, or well, not every, but yeah, that I really care in some way also for other people. But I mean, yeah. Yeah, but let's move on. Because this is crucial, Winter. This is the explanation in a way for all our problems. So Inbrunst und Stärke. Man had to be determined in their love talking. Während die Frauen in den meisten Bereichen des gesellschaftlichen Daseins weitgehend rechtlos waren, scheinen sie eine starke Position im Prozess des Liebeswerdens innegehabt zu haben, zumindest auf der Ebene emotionaler Macht, wenn man darunter das Vermögen versteht, sich hinsichtlich der eigenen Gefühle bedeckt zu halten und den Mann dazu zu zwingen, die seinigen zu offenbaren, um daraufhin über eine Reaktion zu entscheiden. Exactly, Winter. And this is what you do, I think, or I interpret that you are forcing me to show my feelings, my intentions, and then you can decide on a reaction from your side. And yeah, here I'm showing a lot in the podcast, but in a way maybe the reason you didn't want to come to me, or yeah, still are like me, ambivalent in your intentions, and maybe feel some days you want to, but then you don't pick up the animus. Reason might be this, that you want to put me under this pressure and say, yeah, a man should offenbaren, is a nice word, like in the Bible also, such a book called Offenbarung, the Offenbarung, what is this? Well, you have to show, you have to open yourself and truly show everything. And maybe, Winter, you feel like this is not enough, what I'm doing here, this is only on the internet, this doesn't count in this way. And yeah, you're right, maybe, but I need to tell you something also that, well, if you feel like this, then I must tell you that I feel exactly the opposite or antagonistically to you, but this, of course, would be natural in love, could be fitting. Reveal, expose. I have to reveal everything I feel for you, and this is not the real act here, of course, in the internet. Okay, I get it, and you're right in a way. But that I wanted to say that the first time I really fell in love was with 15, and was just a couple of months before my family moved to Argentina. It was here in Germany, and I mean, of course, you always feel like entangled, enchanted by someone, some classmate, and there were these occurrences. But it never got that intense, or yeah, just with this one girl. I met her on, well, like a social event from a Christian organization, because yeah, my parents and grandparents are kind of religious. And this was just some kind of Freizeit, well, an event that took place there for 3 or 4 days, where all the musical, yeah, I was part of an orchestra playing my trumpet, just learning to play it, and there all those youth orchestras got together, and was for these young people, I don't know, maybe from beginning from 14 or even younger. But there I was, and I saw this one girl, and she enchanted me and struck to me somehow. And then I didn't dare to talk to her, of course, but at least I thought for sometimes I thought for, oh yeah, and this is crucial, Winter, because then at the last day somehow my parents, they picked me up and got me home again. But there I saw her with some other girls at the parking lot when we left there, and she was, they, all the girls, were somehow cheering and yeah, greeting us for goodbye. And I don't know, just found this cute or somehow, but I then contacted her on the internet, because I had looked for her on a page like Facebook that existed earlier, SchülerVZ, doesn't exist anymore, German version of Facebook. But there I contacted her, and we wrote for like 2 months. And I just asked her why she had cheered, or then she said, yeah, we did this for everyone. And for everyone that was leaving there with her friends, and they were standing there, and yeah. And then, yeah, we got into talking, and I even revealed to her that somehow she seemed beautiful to me. She was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen, I wrote to her. But okay, it didn't get, what was her reply to this exact phrase was that, well, she felt flattered, well, maybe also flattened, but flattered, but she doesn't believe that I could have been able to say this in real life. And exactly, and yeah, this then disappointed me in a way, maybe her reaction, because yeah, of course she's right that it's easier to write this, and it's not the same to say this in real life. But I mean, why does this count? Why does this have to be a, why do we have to compare and say, well, this would somehow be better, I mean, to say this in real life? Of course, yeah, if one could have the courage, but I mean, if you don't have the courage to say this to a person's face, maybe at least it's better to write it, and it's at least better to not, than to not say anything. This is my whole point, and I think a lot of the way I was loving then after that also in Argentina had to do maybe with this kind of drama that, yeah, after 2 months She somehow said that now it was enough, or for some reason she had detected this, that I was in a way eager to maybe become her boyfriend, but I didn't make any more moves, and it was more of her side that she was making illusions, at least of getting to know each other, like, in a way I thought she was proposing a real life meeting then, but I didn't dare, of course, to ask, and didn't want to think about it also. Yeah, but I think about this today that it doesn't feel so bad now today, because nowadays I understand that love is a highly mental thing and it all takes place in the brain. And yeah, for me it was back then intuitively clear that this is the truth about love. And yeah, just feel like, of course, it would be nice to be more extroverted and ask for a meeting and stuff, but there's so many things in my life that could be changed and would be nice, and extroversion, yeah, would be nicer. And but it's not reduced, it's not restrained to this one field of love. I mean, there it would be nice, but I don't like this always thinking about love, and always there you detect these problems that molest you in your life and about your own character. But it doesn't have to be this way. If something bothers you, you should aim to change this in your life, in no matter if you're seeking love, relationship, or feeling like falling in love now, independently from this. And this is what the German Minister of Finance also said, Christian Lindner, although of course I hate his political standpoint as a liberal Lindner, but he said a good thing, I think, this year, New Year's Eve, that, well, there's always the gute Vorsätze fürs neue Jahr, for the new year. Here in Germany, at least, we like to have good, just wishes, that we wish we could change our life and do something better, like living healthier, doing sports, resolutions for the new year. But Lindner then said he doesn't do this kind of thing, committing himself to resolutions for the new year, because if he feels there's something he should change about his life, then yeah, it's good to go and act on it immediately. Exactly. I think this is right. And the same in love. You shouldn't wait to change your behavior, your patterns, until you fall in love. Because yeah, then of course you're going to feel, oh man, I have to become a whole new person. This is a new life, because you, Winter, you are such a snowflake. I mean, so incomparable, valuable. And could I live up to this greatness that you represent in my eyes? Of course not. And therefore, in number 44, where I was talking Spanish the first time, in a longer talk, about an hour, therefore I talked a lot about the catharsis, which is a Greek term for, well, becoming a better person, somehow clearing all that was bad from your soul. And that this concept somehow is related to love nowadays. And we think like we have to become a better person. But my advice is that it's not necessary, because it's going to inhibit you, and it's going to inhibit you totally from falling in love and from realizing this love. And what is a realization? But this is the crucial point I learned with this girl, Sophie, back then. This girl I was writing, texting, that the realization could also be just this mental space of love. And yeah, I enjoyed it somehow. I also, because it puts you under a lot of pressure, also negative pressure, of course, Unlust. But yeah, I mean, maybe with more time, and maybe if we both, or I, had been a little more mature, but it's normal, of course, to not be mature at this time. But then it could have be transformed into something else, a physical encounter. But yeah, in this time, I mean, it was only 2 months, I felt like this was okay. And I also back then, maybe I felt the need to fight this fight as a man. I don't want to have this role to always feel like, oh yeah, it's your role, your task to somehow pursue something. No, I just enjoy this, writing to her and imagining all kinds of things in my head. And yeah, this is the mental preparation part of love. And with you, Winter, it's only now, of course, already, yeah, already time to really get behind this phase. And this is really childish for me, going like this. And from both sides, of course, we're equal. I mean, but yeah, then we're also equally to blame that we put ourselves in this decision now already half a year that we didn't really talk from angesicht zu angesicht, from face to face, or yeah, just very briefly. But Winter, I just need to get back to seeing you, all your facial expressions and everything that's so rich about you and that makes me feel so rich and so gifted that you want to show me all your gifts, all your smiles. And yeah, and I think I can go on reading here. And yeah, just this, what I was mentioning with this German girl Sophie, that for some reason, I mean, come on, for some reason, yeah, it felt like after this I was fighting this fight, mainly this fight, that the real love could also be mental love, imaginary love, and there's no line you could draw and say this is real or this is not real. You have to touch another person and only then. No, I think this was my standpoint, or a standpoint that I maybe developed beginning from them, that I was feeling in this fighting against the whole world that is talking so vulgarly about sex, like this is the only thing. And of course sex is very lowering and always thinking. And of course I think that with this Argentinian girl, yeah, there I totally missed this part, the physical encounters and just having a date, maybe even talking to her, totally missed this, and this was not so good. But still I think there's a valid point to this, that today we tend to think about love and sex too much in this way of, oh man, it has to be realized. If not, it's not real. If it's not physical, it's not real. If it's not from both sides, it's not real. If you get rejected, it's not real love. But why? It could be real love, although it's only felt by one side. But in general, this is also the great thing about love, and this is a very important educational theorem, that in general you only fall in love with people that also could fall back in love with you. And especially if you already noticed some sign on them, then you're going to fall in love even deeper, or they're going to fall in love with you. Therefore, I have to tell you this, men and women equally, but more to women, of course, we have to encourage them, get them into the active role, that you just have to make a move and the man is going to fall in love anyway. I mean, there's really no stopping it. And I just noticed this about myself, that I could fall in love way more easier. Or I mean, what is this special trait, special character trait or physical trait that makes you feel so enchanted about the person? I think it always has to do with this fact that you already perceived in this person some hint of, yeah, this person is also liking me, or also may be flirting and thinking and wanting to think about this love possibility. And yeah, Winter, with you then, I don't know what I can say there, just I don't want to think about it, because I, of course, I don't want to tell you that you were seducing me. Just yeah, I noticed in you, of course, in your eyes, that you also enjoyed our talks. And it doesn't matter if it had to do with love also, lust. Just that, yeah, if you could see this in me, someone you enjoyed talking to, of course, already this made me so proud and made me, yeah, I don't know. And with this, I really think I have to move on here. Let's read a little more. Um daraufhin über eine Reaktion zu entscheiden. Exactly, and this is my critique. Women only reacting. Leaning back and saying, oh yeah, I will decide then on my reaction to your male action. So, Rothmann macht ebenfalls deutlich, dass der Mann selten schwankte, sobald er einmal eine Entscheidung getroffen hatte. In der Verfolgung seines Ziels gab er sich kaum ambivalent. Frauen hingegen waren unentschlossen und zauderten noch auf den letzten Stufen zum Altar. So men were really firm and not ambivalent in their communications, but women, they were zaudern and zögern, means, it's a very nice word, zaudern. Zaudern, hesitating, of course. They were always hesitating and, yeah, somehow complementary to today's situation, or at least the stereotype, the common notion about how today's situation is between the genders, that men are more hesitating. Ein junger Mann, der darauf erpicht ist, jedes Hindernis zu überwinden, eine junge Frau, die bis zuletzt die Entscheidung scheute, weil die Männer davon ausgingen, dass eine Heirat ihren Alltag bereichern und nicht einschränken würde, sahen sie der Hochzeit ungeduldiger entgegen als die Frauen. Er durfte jedoch mit dem Widerstand und dem Hinauszögern seiner Verlobten rechnen. This part I read already. Yeah, du hast nicht den Mumm, dir ein Mädel zu schnappen. And of course, don't have the courage. I feel this also now, that it's, as I described in the beginning, it's a difficult topic to even think about how to live with this other individual, maybe even live together in an apartment or just live this relationship. It's difficult, and it doesn't have to do a bit with gender. It has to do only with that it's another subject, another human being like me, and it's not clear what this means, what this feels, and what the common way of interacting is today. Of course, in liberalism, everything gets so free that we don't know which way to go, what could be normal. But okay. Well, I think it's enough maybe with this, from this book for today, because the only thing that I wanted to mention is that somehow this goes along, this inequality described there goes along with female power over men, that a woman, yeah, she's waiting and thinking about her reaction, and therefore she has this power over men. And this is maybe also a point I didn't understand about your behavior, Winter, that in a way it is a powerful and authoritarian behavior, pressure you put me under. Maybe it's this way around, I don't know, but yeah. And I just think I can read now this one poem I composed yesterday, because there we were in the office and I thought, yeah, it would be so nice if you stopped by and maybe thought about this. But Winter, I have to tell you that I can always go on writing. I was writing a lot there in the office, not really working. Just a bit, and yeah, somehow I'm driven into this direction of not Even seeking pleasure, I know it would be the greatest pleasure to see you, talk to you, or even live with you. And this would be great, but somehow a human being is not programmed this way to seek the real maximum of pleasure. And yeah, this is very crucial to understand myself. I mean, yeah, not for you, this is maybe just an analysis for myself, that I'm always working against an impediment. Or as Robert Musil puts it in his great novel, Der Mann ohne Eigenschaften, The Man Without Characteristics, that some people are simply driven or forced into living against themselves. And this is what I do. Yeah, I'm living against myself. And I feel this in this crazy love development process or friendship development. I have friendship. But in other areas in my writing, that I feel then, yeah, like yesterday I was writing and coming up with an idea of a novel or something I want to write, but it seems like I'm railroaded, yeah, by this productivity flowing out of me, and I can't direct it into the right areas. It's too many documents, texts that I started and can't come to a finish, and just, yeah, going on and on and starting with new material without even, yeah, finishing the old one. But with this, I think I've explained this, that somehow, yeah, one is forced to live against oneself, and I don't know when I can, if I can change this someday. But I just need to tell you, Winter, that you are a person that is making me burst off. Yeah, making me feel like, yes, I want to be a totally positive person and joyful, bursting with jokes and, yeah, like it was sometime maybe here, but not today, of course. So let's read this, and then this will be the end for this podcast. Dear Winter, poem from yesterday, Thursday. Thank you for today. It always feels like having stacks, being with you in a room, sitting there silently. I'm working against a certain impediment. It's my nature, myself. If I didn't program this trick into my habits, then I fear I might explode and be crushed by my bursting productivity. Man, how stupid shy am I? Wanted to say bless you when you sneezed, but didn't dare to. You sneeze very often. Just let me know what could help you, 'cause I'd do anything for you to protect you, please you, be at your service and mercy. I need you, like a plant needs the earth it's planted in, and the water and sunshine. You're all to me. I don't even need to eat anymore. Basic needs are too vulgar for me nowadays, in this phase of mental love, spiritual unity with you, my flower. Will you bow over to me and show me your blossoms, your daring eyes, your glaring face? You radiate and shoot at me with your sparkling flashes of divinity. These occurrences that divide me, part me in half. Please tell me what you need to be healthy and not freezing. I can warm you with my arms, my body. I will be there for you and give you your medicine or cook some tea. Just let me take care of you, care for you, think of you and your desires, your hunger. But here's the deal. Your hunger, Aya. Now get to this topic. While it's easy to cook any meal for you, more complex is the thought of satisfying your sexual appetite. You're such a hungry girl. Excuse me, but that one time we were out there in our lunch break eating, two boys and one girl, you, my unique flower, and there I thought we would walk around the lake as I always did, it's a habit. But you said you were hungry and appeared uncomfortable watching out for a bench to sit on. There we sat, because of course we boys need to obey to the female desire. And this day you showed you had a lot of hunger, which was great. It's natural to feel and express the needs of the body. And no one I know can be more genuine. Therefore, I shouldn't be nervous thinking of having sex with you, touching you intimately, feeling your shapes and organs, your knees and liver and kidneys or ribs. Anything you give to me, show me, would be a gift of unconceivable greatness and worthiness, incalculable. Maybe not for you, with your powerful brain and numerical education, but certainly for me. So teach me, show me, take me by your hands. So this was the first part. I think I wrote this in the office there when you left about at 4. Just texting a friend here. He wants to come over. I mean, I'm confused today, but let's finish this up precisely. I was writing this then in the office. You were leaving, and I thought you were made also this impression. You were sad, and I'm also sad. When, of course, I have to tell you, I feel this is very stupid, but at least it's from both sides. At least we're equally stupid. I mean, that also feels great, yeah. At least, but maybe you're waiting for me, because it's this female power I can't really come to understand. But okay, let's say that then I went home and wrote the second part of this poem. And I think, the part of about your hunger was crucial, because that one time I already talked about in TSY that we went out there, three of us, three colleagues, and there's a rose garden, I just thought it's nicer to go there to the rose garden and sit there on a bench. It's just at the other side of the lake. But you were so hungry, you wanted to sit there on the bench, and of course therefore we sat there. And it's the typical shyness. I don't even dare to propose this. Well, the rose gun, of course, it would also sound romantic double knife, but it's a very nice rose gun, especially now in summer. So lots of roses flowering there, and there are also nice comfortable benches. And but then you were so hungry, and this hunger I use as a metaphor here for the sexual appetite also. And this is a very, very important point here, Winter, that the female desire, it's crucial to unwrap it, auspacken, to unwrap it like a present, because today in the vulgar hegemonic discourse, it's like all about the masculine desire, and a woman is the symbol for sex and for lust, but it's also traumatic for men. Not so comfortable to be confronted with the female lust and thinking that women also want sex, and it's totally not true. Like this, what we read last time from Eva Illus, that women are seen like morally superior beings and are not even touched so much by the desires of the flesh. No, they also want to touch us, man, and this is so hard to understand. Even almost impossible to conceive in this rhetorical framework we're all living here now, in this liberal land. Winter, that this is that I don't even know what am I saying here, Winter, that just I don't want to be like a man who wants to control his girlfriend and feel like he has to have the monopoly over her, and it's maybe this is my fight for polyamory. It has to do with my own desire, but it's not mainly about this. It also feels like this, that it wouldn't be right to have the monopoly over my partner in a relationship. And I just want to think about this because, of course, we all feel under pressure in a competition against other persons, against other boys, or you maybe now feel in a competition. It's also because I mentioned Soriana, maybe it hurt you. But yeah, this is then could be the solution to this problem. To think, why reprimand you? Polyamory could be something normal. If you feel the lust to touch someone else, why should you forbid it yourself? Just stubbornly thinking it would be a sin, I would commit a crime against my partner. No. But I don't know why this was so fascinating, how you were hungry and you were looking there for a bench and just wanted to express this, that you were determined, and I liked this about you. Therefore I didn't say anything about could go over there to the rose garden, because it seemed like in this very moment you were very precise and very focused on this. I'm saying no, I want to sit down now and want to eat, just can't. But yeah, maybe next time you like, we could go out there to see this, the roses flowering now. And with this I go on, really need to get to an end here, draw to a close, and this is the second part now of this poem. My dearest Winter, all I think about is that I want to see your face and touch it. All right, now it talks about this, This is the paradoxical part. On one hand, the day I felt wanting to be friends, but here we read about this other sensual, erotic stuff. With my eyes or hands, feel your determination, your willpower. You're so mighty, and I want to lie with you besides your long, straight body, to palpate, scan, feel your body parts that are so complementary to mine. I can't help thinking about this when I'm exhausted, tired of writing or thinking. Just let me sink down beside you and hug you, put my arms around your neck and shoulders and on your hip, to register each mountaintop, each summit of your natural envelope. This seashell that covers you, your skin, and all your surroundings that guard your inner treasures. Your liveliness, and bursting youthfulness. You're so bright, my candle shining for me wherever I go. Your shapes are not that feminine, not that round as the stereotype of femininity suggests. But this is perfect, because you are hard to find in a multitude on the streets, where you look different than inside a building. There, outside, you are androgynous. what I wanted to express here. Androgynous forms means like, I don't know, somehow mixed masculinity and femininity. And with you, I get this feeling with it that somehow you're also complementary to Soriana. And sorry, maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but yeah, I was thinking about this. Your body forms, you, Winter, are appearing more androgynous. And this is very sexy to me, but just that Soriana is more round, like this stereotype femininity. But in your social behavior, it's maybe the other way around, that you, Winter, are a little more feminine. And it doesn't matter, I don't want to judge here, and this whole, don't want to touch. Want to touch, but not judge. And what I said about Soriana, that she was masculine in a way, because she's working so hard and not caring about what other people see and think of her, just she's focused on her work and she's in her own world and attacking these problems. And therefore, I meant she's in a way masculine, and this is also positive. But okay, let's then move on here. There, and that somehow on the streets, when I see you there, you look like a different person, or somehow you're different outside than inside. I don't know how, but somehow everywhere you're beautiful, of course, where you go. I like to identify you with your long hairs, but still like to notice some differences, that somehow outside you disappear in the multitude. It's impossible to, I don't know, your shapes disappear somehow. Where you look different than inside a building, there you're androgynous forms give you a touch of a masculine appearance. But please don't take my words so seriously. Masculine or feminine, I just have this sureness, this burning certainty that we must clutch together in order for the world to make sense. Pressing you and feeling you pressing back would be the perfect union, infinite harmony, of course. This half year now has been neurotic, a game seeming absurd at times. But this is the lesson about love and sex, that it's always double-knifed, two-faced. There is no easy way to get around these ambivalent realms once you enter the temple of lust and desire. Now this has been enough theoretical work. And it is time to get back out there. Maybe make a walk at the lake, where you can tell me about your hunger, your desires and thoughts or dreams, your sister, and everything that is inside your complex being, every impression running through your unexplorable brain. I want you to pour everything, every last bit inside me, so I take your whole character, your being, and guard it, mingle it with my own, and somehow we can create a synthesis, a new concept about the new way of looking at us, at the unity of you and me. Exactly, Winter. And now, I think next week maybe we can focus on this friendship level, because somehow, it has to get started again, but slowly. It also could develop rapidly, as I said, but still now, after such a long time, better at least take it slow for some days, just chatting again in the office or something. And then maybe if you want, what did I say there in the poem? In the text I read initially, I said this, if you, it's not my favorite part, but with your feminine hunger, of course, I could be willing to let this happen. But of course, I described all this, how sex is difficult to, it's difficult for us men to let it happen, or think it could happen. And therefore you have to be gentle with me, but in the end it's not even that important. It could be Just that I want to see you and be sure that you don't slip away. I mean, that somehow I lose you because you feel annoyed then by my lack of, well, that I'm lacking simply this action of contacting you again. And yeah, this has to do with this, that I feel I'm not clean enough. Exactly. Has to do with drugs, also smoking. Now this friend that has come over, of course, of course, yeah, right. And it has to do with this, but also with other things, with my not being so organized with my writings and stuff. But it doesn't matter now. I simply have to terminate this recording because I don't want to bore you. Of course, my discourse today is not that outstanding, really not, but hope you could learn or enjoy something and just understand me a little better. And then I say to you, oh my, I didn't even talk German now. Yeah, let's do something in German. I mean, gotta be true at least to my promise. Of course, I could label this anyway as Tischlein deck dich. But still, you have to have all these subtle tricks and habits like this one of always mingling in some other language. So I'm going to go on reading here from my own story, Die Formel. Of course, I read Eva Illus, but this was not really German. I just read this for you, so you can understand or learn a little. Or, yeah, learn about my thoughts. Liebe Leute, ich nehme euch wieder mit als Schwungmasse hier. Ich pack's aus, ich raste aus hier. Das war ja schon also wirklich letztes Mal, wie ich da zum Höhenflug angesetzt habe bei der Vorlesung von diesem Text. Das war ja schon außergewöhnlich, außerirdisch, außer Rand und Band. Und hier lese ich also einfach weiter. Wir waren jetzt beim Übergang von Mathematik zu Physik. Diese Funktion also würde getriggert, sobald auch nur ein Körnchen Material durch die Raster des ideellen Siebemechanismus gefallen wäre. Das wäre das Zeichen, dass nun wirklich die innerlichen seelischen Gefilde erreicht sind. Dadurch wäre klar und bewiesen, was auch immer nötig sein sollte zu beweisen, damit die individuelle Seele der einen Hälfte der vollen Liebeseinheit sich vollkommen klar und überzeugt werden könnte, die ihr entsprechende andere Hälfte zu lieben, sich im vollen Bewusstsein der gegenseitigen Fürbestimmung an sie zu schmiegen und sich einzuketten an den Stellen, die vom großen Stellwerksgott dafür vorgesehen wurden. Der Verlauf der Zeit, dargestellt auf der X-Achse, würde in einem wissenschaftlichen Diagramm die abhängige Variable darstellen. Für die Erfassung der Intensität der Liebes- und Lebensgefühle jener ideellen Entsprechung zu den materiellen Vitalwerten, die beim Arzt festgestellt werden und deren Ausschlag im Diagramm auf der Y-Achse eingetragen würde. Die Variablennamen X und Y können das frei assoziierende Hirn freilich zur Bedenkung der menschlichen Genome. Oh yeah, already these friends come over.